Monday marked the second day of public hearings for the House committee investigating the January 6th attack on the Capitol. We're making space for your reaction, your takeaways from the landmark hearings so far on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Join in on the testimony, the video footage, Trump's voter fraud lies. What stands out to you about the panel, the investigation? 800-642-1234. Jeff Peterson is UW-Eau Claire Political Science Department Chair and a professor of political science and American Indian Studies, specializing in the American electoral process, political behavior, and Native American politics. Jeff, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Oh, thank you for having me. I look forward to the conversation.
Well, let's start with first impressions. You know, your initial impressions after 2 days of hearings. First one, prime time to the American people. The second, yesterday in the morning. What are your takeaways?
Well, I think there's a couple things that jumped out at me. The first thing is I'm surprised how many, you know, inner Trump officials were willing to testify under oath regarding, what happened between the election and January 6th. You know, obviously the most prominent one being, former Attorney General Bill Barr, but there were many others. And sort of frankly, the relative candor of a lot of their discussion. The other thing that jumped out at me, because this is not something I was actually aware of, and I really thought I knew what was going on, was the stuff brought up by Congressman Lofgren yesterday morning regarding the fundraising allegations. Mm-hmm. While there were more sort of fiery, exciting, personal trauma event sort of conversations, but in many ways, the potential legal liability connected to the quarter of $1 billion worth of fundraising that may or may not have been misappropriated. I was saying to my better half this morning, I suspect that 50 state attorney generals are all looking at their wire fraud statutes to see if this applies, because it's potentially a huge legal liability.
Let's spend a moment there. Explain a little more the connection of election fraud claims and how that connects to the campaign coffers. How did the panel show that the false claims of election fraud as a fundraising tactic?
Well, one of the things they pointed out is that almost immediately following the election, the Trump campaign was soliciting money on a almost constant basis. Someone pointed out that people were getting as many as 25 emails and texts a day asking them for money. And the donations were all targeted at this a fund that was supposed to help provide resources for the legal actions taken regarding, the potential election fraud, when in fact the fund that they were soliciting for apparently doesn't actually exist. And then in fact, that money was siphoned off and used in other places. There's a variety of laws regarding, soliciting money for one thing and then reallocating it for another without telling the donor. As well as a variety of laws, specifically federal election laws, dealing with how money like that can be spent. Now, obviously, we didn't get to see the hard, the actual evidence. We got to hear their summary of it. But depending on how much evidence they have, there's certainly smoke, if not fire, on this particular issue. And as a friend of mine reminded me, Al Capone got taken down by his taxes. It's possible that all of the election fraud stuff will end up coming down to this fundraising, manipulation of the fundraising system rather than anything else.
Perhaps more to come there, perhaps more to watch there. I want to talk, going back to your mention of hearing from a long list of Trump's inner circle. We got snippets of testimony, Trump's former campaign manager, Bill Stepien, former Attorney General Bill Barr, as you mentioned, daughter Ivanka Trump, son-in-law Jared Kushner, among others. What stood out to you about the testimony?
Well, I think there were a couple that stood out. First, I'm hoping they'll bring Stepien back. As I understand it, he wasn't able to testify yesterday.
Wife in labor.
Because his wife, his wife actually went into labor. It was funny when they first announced that he was away on a family emergency, my first reaction was, oh, right, he doesn't actually want to testify. This is just a thing. And then it turns out, no, it really was. I hope that he's actually there to testify in person at some point. But the thing that struck me was that you had, you know, all of these people who really in the inner circle of the White House who were constantly, you know, telling the president, this fraud isn't, you know, this particular allegation of fraud isn't true. This one isn't true. This one isn't true. You know, we've investigated it. We can't find any evidence to support this. And rather than the former president saying, okay, maybe there wasn't fraud, he just kept moving on to the next allegation, to the next allegation. And Bill Barr in particular was just incredibly dismissive and a little vulgar in his assessment of what happened. Now, obviously, to some extent, for someone like Bill Barr, you know, he's probably trying to repair his reputation a little bit and create some distance between himself and Trump. But at the same time, he's doing this all under oath, mm-hmm. right? And so, you know, unlike previous statements made by lots of other people that weren't under oath, once you put these people in legal jeopardy of perjury, if they lie, it certainly sounds like most of the people, certainly on the legal side, attorney general, White House counsel, people like that, were pretty certain that there was certainly not enough voter fraud to overturn the election, and that for some reason they were unable to sort of win that argument in the White House. And that was just fascinating to me and frankly more than a little disturbing, I suppose.
Jeff Peterson with us, UW Eau Claire Political Science Department Chair, Professor of Political Science, as we talk about the House Committee to investigate the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. You can join in with your takeaways so far after the second day of testimony, tomorrow, the third day. Are you watching? What are you hearing? 800-642-1234. Jeff, you talk about this division, which stood out to me as well when, you know, when the committee plays the deposition of Stepien, you know, he describes being on team normal and being part of a group that's kind of disassociated itself from Trump's, you know, bogus election fraud claims. Can you talk about that division and what the panel is finding out about Trump dividing his inner circle?
You know, it's really interesting because, of course, part of what's happening is, you know, all the people who are not, you know, I don't know what we're going to call the not team normal,
okay.
but I don't know what the right term is for them, but none of them have been willing to testify. I take that back. Sidney Powell did a video deposition, although she was, you know, the little bits and pieces we got were clearly her just in denial mode. You know, clearly, the sense you get from watching the hearings is that there was a group of people who were trying to communicate to the president, look, there is no, in fact, someone said, there's no there, mm-hmm. right? That this is, you know, there's not enough here to justify what you're doing. It's time to sort of wrap this up and think about the transition for President Biden. And then there's another group who's essentially egging the president on, in many ways, I suspect, playing to his worst character flaws. And, you know, unwillingness to admit when he's wrong and things like that. And the frustration you get, the sense you get from people like his campaign manager, his lawyers, that they simply couldn't seem to break through to him on this is really quite palpable in the testimony. I mean, it's really obvious that there's just like you can almost hear them saying, what do I have to do to make him realize that this is a losing fight? So it's quite something to watch, and I can only imagine it's going to become more obvious over the next, you know, several testimonies.
I want to turn to a call now. Let's go to Michael in Sheboygan with Reflections. Michael, hi. What's coming up for you?
Good morning. I'm surprised at the lack of interest of individuals not seeing that history may repeat itself with one-party rule. And that the lack of interest of some of us citizens not being outraged of the comments and the lies, and especially when you see the Christian right who was so concerned about truth when it's presented to them, their lack of just turning away and just going for one party rule, because it's very concerning. If history repeats itself, we'll be in another, our democracy will be in jeopardy.
Michael, may I ask, have you been watching, following the hearings?
Absolutely. As a citizen, it's my duty to get to the truth. My vote matters. Redistricting, one-party rule, saying all these negative things and finding out that they were all true. And that when people don't honor our Constitution and take an oath, they're cowards, because their evidence has been presented to them. And enough times, I mean, how many times do they need to hear the truth before, or the lie? It's just unbelievable to me. I just can't even explain it in words that more citizens aren't watching this or are blindly following one person. It's just crazy. It's almost like history is going to repeat itself.
Jeff, you know, Michael, I'm saying in many different ways, where is the outrage?
Well, I mean, I think there's a couple things to consider here. I think part of it is that I think for a lot of people, their opinions on this are pretty much already baked in. They already don't trust Trump, or they trust Trump, and whatever evidence they get, you know, whatever's brought up here is not going to sway them. At the same time, I think it's also important to recognize, and you've got this sense listening to Congresswoman Cheney at the first hearing, that they've got a very careful plan here in terms of how they want to lay out the evidence. So it's almost like they're building a legal case. And I know they are going to do primetime test or hearings as well. So I think over time we'll see this build up. Whether that moves the needle a lot on public opinion or not, we won't know for a couple of weeks. But I should also point out, you know, the Nielsen ratings, as I've seen them, at least for the first hearing, were surprisingly good. They were like Monday Night Football level with Nielsen ratings. So there are, in fact, a lot of people, you know, the Nielsen's had 20 plus million people watching the first day of testimony. That's pretty substantial. That's a lot of people tuning in to see what's going on. And if those 20 million have conversations with another 20 million people, suddenly you've got, you know, a fifth of the adult population in the United States talking about this.
UW-Eau Claire Political Science Department Chair Jeff Peterson providing analysis on the January 6th committee proceedings, the witnesses, the testimony, your takeaways. Still time to join in, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Jeff Peterson here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation with UW-Eau Claire political science professor Jeff Peterson, who's giving his analysis on what he's seen so far from the House Select Committee investigating the deadly January 6th insurrection, as the second day of testimony wrapped up yesterday, the third day of public hearings set to begin tomorrow morning at 9, our time, Wisconsin Public Radio, continuing to carry it live. Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Jeff Peterson with us for about 9 more minutes. Jeff, I want to zoom in here on the fake electors, Wisconsin being one of 7 states that Biden won where groups of Republicans acted as presidential electors in 2020. Can you tell us what the fake electors did and the significance of submitting those votes and what the panel is looking at here?
Well, in theory, right, the Constitution and then the Electoral College Act of the late 19th century empowers states to send, right, groups of electors to the Electoral College. And if there is a contested outcome in a state, and this comes out of the presidential election of 1876, you could have theoretically the governor send one set of electors and the legislators send another representing different candidates. And it becomes the job of the U.S. Congress to then sort out which electors to qualify to vote. What happened in 2020 is there were multiple states that President Trump lost, in which his party then organized a group of Republicans to essentially submit their electoral votes as if they were competing electors. Now, in every single one of those cases, they were not, because there wasn't any contest, you know, actual legal contest within the state about who the electors, you know, which party the electors were supposed to come from. So the question then becomes, is acting as one of these, you know, contested electors when there isn't actually a contested election, does that put you in legal jeopardy? In theory, it does. The question will be whether or not the Department of Justice or the state chooses to take any action on these actions.
And the fake electors have not been fined for their actions, hasn't played really a role in the hearings thus far. But we did see Andrew Hitt, former Republican Party of Wisconsin chair, and the 8th Congressional District Republican Party chairwoman, Kelly Rue, who had been subpoenaed about this because they had helped draft false elector paperwork. What are you watching for here?
Well, I mean, the real question is going to be, does either the state or the Department of Justice at the national level feel that this is a significant enough violation of the law to actually prosecute somebody? It's also possible that they see, I mean, I don't know the inner details at this point. It's also possible they're being subpoenaed because they want to use this as evidence to prove, you know, they want their testimony rather than to charge them with a crime. And that testimony being to help, make the argument for the presidential campaign committing some sort of fraud, or essentially that these people were encouraged by the campaign to knowingly participate in an illegal act. And as a consequence, that would be, you know, suborning perjury or something like that. Because I mean, technically, when you're signing these documents, you're signing them under oath, you know, penalty of perjury, all that kind of stuff. And so it's possible that rather than charging them with a crime, they actually want their testimony, some sort of deposition to use as evidence against the Trump campaign.
I want to spend a moment on the Capitol Police Officer Caroline Edwards' testimony and what it was like for her on January 6th, suffering that concussion, testifying at the first hearing on Thursday. And let's hear a portion of what she had to say.
I couldn't believe my eyes. There were officers on the ground, they were bleeding, they were throwing up, they were, I saw friends with blood all over their faces. I was slipping in people's blood.
I want to ask you specifically about her testimony there and the, you know, being that Capitol Police officer and pairing her testimony with the footage that she was viewing of her trauma. What did you take away from those moments?
Well, you know, we'd already had testimony from a couple of other Capitol Police officers in front of the committee that was televised before. So in some ways, right, what we're getting is simply a different set of perspectives on the same events. The footage that the documentarian had was certainly, you know, new footage that we hadn't seen before. But I think the larger intent here on the part of the committee is essentially to remind everybody that, what actually happened on January 6th. You know, there have been unfortunate statements by members of Congress that, you know, they were just tourists. They were just wandering through and they didn't do anything that was inappropriate or violent. And so I think part of what the committee was trying to do is remind not just the public, but their own colleagues in the House and Senate about the level of violence, you know, the things that actually happen. And so in that sense, I think her testimony and the testimony of the documentarian was very effective in terms of setting the tone. It's like, this is why we are investigating this. I mean, look at what actually happened, and reminding people how serious the situation was on January 6th. And so to that extent, I think what they did was very effective.
Jeff Peterson with us, CW Eau Claire Political Science Department Chair. Still time for you to talk about the House committee, what you've seen so far, 800-642-1234. So, Jeff, they say there will be 7 hearings. What are you looking to next? What are you watching as these hearings unfold?
Well, I think I'm looking for a couple of things. I'm interested to see who else within the Trump inner circle has actually come forward to testify and to see the the evidence that they've gathered. I mean, it's clear that they have got a lot of material that we haven't been privy to up to this point. And so I'm curious to see who else comes forward. There's a former congressman named Denver Ringelman, who's been doing a lot of their IT. He was actually an information security specialist before he was in Congress. And he's been doing a lot of their IT stuff. And my sense is that none of that has come forward. The text message streams, all that sort of stuff. I think there's quite a bit to come out there. The other thing I'll be honestly watching is to see the reaction of the Department of Justice. There have been many people who've been frustrated with Merrick Garland and the DOJ for not acting sooner on going after sort of higher level Trump officials. I'll be interested to see what their reaction is as the testimony progresses and see if sort of higher level Trump officials, Peter Navarro and others, are really in some serious legal jeopardy.
Jeff, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure.
Jeff Peterson is UW Eau Claire Political Science Department Chair, Professor of Political Science. Just ahead, we learn about a new short-run podcast called Be Seen about Wisconsin's LGBTQ history. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.